Again, it is good to be here. Appreciate so much all the hard work that goes into a conference. Appreciate the lodging, just everything. Most of all, the spirit. Spirit to me is what makes a conference.
Amen.
And spirit of love and fellowship is wonderful. We want to thank you for everything you do for Sharon and I. We appreciate it so very much. Once again, we'll be in the book of Ezekiel, be in chapter 11. The God-given ministry of Ezekiel was to minister to his fellow Jewish captives in Babylon. These Jewish captives desperately needed the intervention of God. In their lives, they desperately needed the message of God. And God would use Ezekiel to inspire them, to strengthen them, to revive them. And the book of Ezekiel is made up of a series of messages from God to Ezekiel and from Ezekiel to the captives. Here in chapter 11, Ezekiel was brought in vision back to the gate of the temple. We see that in verse 1. What Ezekiel saw is recorded in verses 1 through 12, and what he saw resulted in great distress of soul, filling him with fear that God was going to destroy his people. We see in verse 13, Ezekiel says, "Then I fell down upon my face and cried with a loud voice, Ah, Lord God." And then we'll read our text, verses 14 through 16. But again, picture Ezekiel down on his face, crying unto God. And then notice the first word of verse 14, again. Oh, praise God for again.
Amen.
Again, the word of the Lord came unto me. So Ezekiel is now going to receive another message from God. From God to Ezekiel, from Ezekiel to the people. That's the pattern. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred. Notice those thy. He's expressing the close relationship. And all the house of Israel, holy are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord, unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore said, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. So from verse 14, we see that this is a time of great distress, a time of great fear, and it was during this time that Ezekiel receives another message from God. It is a message that would continue through verse 21, and it was verse 15, a message to a certain people. Those who, while they were being carried away captive, it's bad enough to be carried away captive, but they were looked upon by their brethren with scorn, and they were mocked by their brethren in Jerusalem. So this message is to a people who are suffering. It is to a despised and afflicted people. We come to verse 16. Therefore, indicative of the fact that it is a message relative to their situation, a message relative to their need, and then this is followed by, Thus saith the Lord God. a phrase that occurs 126 times in the book of Ezekiel, indicating that it is a message directly from God. It is a message of authority. It is a message of certainty. It is a message of wisdom. It is a message of power. And we will concern ourselves with but a portion of the message from God to Ezekiel, Ezekiel to the captives. And that is in verse 16. Ezekiel 11 verse 16 is my favorite verse in the Bible. I have many, but that verse, although, yet will I be. I love that. Although, yet will I be. So we'll just concern ourselves with verse 16. A message from God about His person, about His sufficiency, about His grace, about His mercy, His love, and His faithfulness. A message that provides solid ground for comfort, for hope. A message of assurance for the people of God. It is a message of promise from God to His people. Reading verse 16, it is as if God is saying to these Jews in Babylonian captivity, there is always me, and for this you have me. And how true that is. There's always God, and for this we have Him. So again, we want to take our thought from this 16th verse, in particular the words, although, yet will I be to them. I want to speak upon God's provision of Himself. God's provision of Himself. God provides us in many, many ways. But God's greatest provision is Himself. And God provides Himself to us all the time. We need to hear God say, although, yet will I be to them. To them. These words need to penetrate and grip our hearts so that they transform our lives. So let's consider the setting of the passage. Again, notice in verse 16, twice we read the word although. Two times. Both times, it is followed by an act of God. Notice, although I have. And then again, although I have. And that brought about a circumstance. The first time cast them far off among the heathen, referring to Babylonian captivity. The second time scattered them among the countries, again referring to Babylonian captivity. This is a result of their sin. It is a result of their rebellion against God. Far off among the heathen, scattered among the countries. And though those two statements speak of Babylonian captivity, they are also indicative of the times and places that we find ourselves many times. And this is the context of the promise. Yet will I be to them. So from these two phrases, cast off among the heathen and scattered among the countries, we see some of the times and places that we find ourselves. And they provide the setting of this message from Ezekiel. It was a time and place of God's chastisement. Back in Deuteronomy, God had warned His people that if they as a nation sinned against Him, they would be scattered among the nations, cast off among the heathen. And prior to the captivity, God's prophets had reminded Judah that Judah and the northern kingdom as well, that they had continuously and shamelessly sinned and rebelled against God. And now as a result, they find themselves under the chastening hand of God. And that's the setting of verse 16. It was a time and place of great difficulty. Cast them far off among the heathen, scattered among the countries. It speaks of a time of difficulty. It speaks of a crisis. It's a time of great struggle. It's a time of hassle. It's a time of stress, complications, inconvenience, being captive in Babylon, times of great trouble, times of agitation. There are words that speak of fierce opposition. There are words that speak of powerful adversaries and hostility and antagonism. There are words that speak of threat and danger and loneliness and disappointment and displeasure and sorrow. And that's where we hear these words of verse 16. This Babylonian captivity is a time and place of exposure to that which is contrary to God. We learn from the book of Daniel that there was an all-out effort to conform these captives to the ways of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar had a program. Nebuchadnezzar had an agenda to develop an appetite in the Hebrew captives for Babylonian culture. That's still going on today. In an attempt to reprogram their thinking, Nebuchadnezzar sought to fill their minds with Babylonian philosophy, sought to fill their minds with Babylonian religion. All this was to captivate their thinking to the ways of Babylon, the idols of Babylon, the ambitions of Babylon, the opinions of Babylon. These captives lived under the constant exposure of wickedness. And we, the saved, find ourselves in such a place today. Though Babylon was a nation that had boundaries, it had a government, it had laws, it had citizens, it had cities, towns, districts, but it's representative of a system of the spirit of Antichrist. That's what it represents today. A system of humanism. A system of intellectualism. A system of pragmatism. A system of secularism. A system of atheism and materialism. This is what these Hebrews were exposed to every day of their lives. And so it is with you and I. Everywhere was evil. Everywhere was wickedness and vileness. Everywhere was abomination and idolatry and blasphemy and immorality and perversion and obscenity and lewdness and heresy. Everywhere they went. And we, like these Hebrew captives, we're in such a system today, or we're surrounded by such a system today. Surrounded by heathen worship. Surrounded by heathen idols. Surrounded by heathen talk. Surrounded by heathen ways, surrounded by heathen philosophies, heathen aspirations, heathen pursuits. We're surrounded by these things. We're in a culture that revels in, glamorizes, celebrates what God calls wicked. And we're bombarded with this every day. And we, like these captives, live amongst the people that are spellbound by modern-day sorcery, captivated by and drawn to the vileness of the times. People looking for answers in that which is futile, useless, and empty. And we, like these captives, are under an all-out assault to bring us to conformity to the godless, God-despising lifestyle that is all around us. We, like they, live in the face of an all-out effort to mold us, to get us to fit in, to get us to accept, to get us to embrace the ways of an Antichrist world. Everything is moving toward the Antichrist government. Everything in our society, everything in the world is moving in that direction. And we're faced with this every single day, with the agitation and with the fury and the outrage and the resentment of that which is diabolical. We're faced with it at all times. Again, these two statements. Cast them far off among the heathen. Scattered them among the countries. Are indicative of very trying and difficult times. But God has a message for us.
Amen.
In those times, in those places. So we want to consider this message from God in such times and places. Imagine the horror of the situation. Forcibly removed from their homes. Forcibly removed from their families. Forcibly removed from the holy city. Forcibly moved from their temple, their businesses, their land, their inheritance, and hauled off into a strange and foreign land, into an enemy land. And in the context of such, and to such a people, we read the message of verse 16. It is a message, first off, concerning the being of God. He presents himself as Lord God, Adonai Jehovah. The emphasis in this case is upon Adonai, or Lord, a name that speaks of his position, a name that speaks of his relationship to us. He is the master. He is the owner. He is the ruler. Added to that is he is God. He is Jehovah. That is, he is the eternal, self-existent, self-sufficient, never-changing one. And he is master. He is master. So it is eternal, self-existing, self-sufficient, unchanging Jehovah in relationship to us as master, owner, and ruler.
Yes,
the message comes from Adonai Jehovah, or Jehovah, your master. In verse 16, twice the Lord God, Adonai Jehovah, says, I have. He is the authority. He is in control. There's never a time when that's not so. And twice he uses the word, although, conveying the idea of even though, or in spite of. So he says, although I have, no matter what follows although, and you can put anything there you want, God is the authority.
Amen.
God is the controller. He's behind it all. And then there is the word, yet, conveying the idea of, nevertheless, notwithstanding, or still at this time. So it is although, yet will I be. Although, yet will I be. Those words need to sink into our heart. They need to be rooted in us. Although, insert whatever you can imagine after that word, although. Desperate situations and conditions, darkness, sin, failure, weakness, weariness, defeat, upheaval, hurt, sorrow, pressures, afflictions, temptations, battles, storms, fears, uncertainties, needs, impossibilities, obstacles, overwhelming burdens. So insert whatever you want after although, but keep reading. Yet will I be. Don't get focused upon what comes after although, what you insert after all. Be focused upon yet will I be. That's our focus. That's encouraging. There's comfort there. Yeah. Yet will I be. Now notice, although, yet will, that's a word of purpose, I, the Lord God, Adonai Jehovah, be. That is, I still am. Yeah. Although, yet, God will be. It is a message that God remains the same. Although, yet will I be. Although, yet will I be the Most High. Although, yet will I be the Almighty One, the All-Knowing One, the Sovereign One. And on and on and on we could go. Yet will I be the Sustainer and the Controller of all. Yet will I be faithful and the All-Sufficient One and the Immutable One. Although, yet will I be. Amen. That needs to be our focus. It's a message of the absoluteness of God. Whatever follows, although, He will never be less than who and what He is. Amen. Although, yet will I be. Whatever is involved in our place and our time, no matter how long we've been there, and whatever changes may occur in our place and time, hear God say, although, yet will I be. But notice also it is a message of personal relevance. Although, yet will I be, notice that next word, to them. The word to speaks of direction. Although, yet will I be to them. Who's the them? Well, it's the ones far off among the heathen. Those who are scattered among the countries. Although, yet will I be to them. That word, that little preposition to is a linking word. Now, the Lord God, Adonai Jehovah, has been linked to you and I. Although, yet will I be to them. So again, put whatever you want on the other side of although. Those desperate situations and conditions. Put it all there on the other side of although. But keep reading. Yet will I be to them. Is that not God's provision of Himself?
Amen.
Yet will I be to them. That is God providing Himself for me. For you. Oh, how we need to hear God say, although, yet will I be to you. To you. God's provision of Himself to us. God linking Himself to us and for us. This needs to grip our hearts. Notice it's a present reality. Although, yet will I be to them as, that's a comparison word, a little sanctuary. He personally will be something specific to us. God providing himself for us, being something specific to us in our need. So here's a people who were accustomed to worshiping God in Jerusalem, in the temple. That was their meeting place, their haven, their refuge. But they're now captives, and they're far away from that temple. And God says, yet will I be to you as a little sanctuary. Now, they understood a sanctuary. A sanctuary is something, first of all, that is actual. It's not imaginary. It's real. It's not abstract. God is real. God is not abstract. God is real. A sanctuary is a special place. A sanctuary is a set-apart place. It's a distinct place from all that is around it. Although, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. It's an available place. A place where we can enter. It's a place where we can hide. God says, this is what I'll be to them.
Amen.
It conveys the idea of a place of protection. It is a safe and sure refuge from all that threatens and to afflict and to harm. Life is full of harms. You can't get through life without hurt, without some wounds. Life is full of harms. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. God himself is the sanctuary.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is thy refuge. God is the refuge. A sanctuary is a place of provision. God's the provision. It's a place of stillness. It's a place of rest. God is the place. You don't have to go on a vacation. You don't have to get away from all that's going on around us to find rest. God's our rest.
Amen.
And he's available. Sanctuary is a place of mercy. It's a place of cleansing. It's a place of revelation. It's a place of communion. And God himself is all of these things. God providing himself for us. A sanctuary is a place where we can reside. And notice it is little sanctuary. That speaks of the personal nature of the sanctuary. That is individually. We as individuals can experience him as such. A little sanctuary. A place where I can be enclosed. So what God is promising here is in a strange and hostile land, I will be to you a meeting and gathering place. Can you think of any better place to meet than God? Can you think of any better place to gather than God? I will be to you a special set-apart place. I will be to you an available place, your residing place, your hiding place. I will be your provision, your mercy, your cleansing, your rest, your safety, your communion. And this is so regardless of what follows all those. Doesn't matter what follows all those. That's not the issue. That's never the issue. The issue is God.
Amen.
yet will I be to them. Although, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. Then notice, in the countries where they shall come.
Amen.
Two words indicative of place. In and where. I will be unto them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. In the countries where they shall come. God in our dwelling, as our dwelling. Always remember that. God in our dwelling, as our dwelling. It doesn't get better than that. God providing Himself for us. Don't get hung up on the place. Focus upon God is in this place.
Amen.
As my dwelling. God's provision of Himself. We don't know the places where we must come. None of us do. Oh, we have plans. But I got news for you. Plans don't always work as we planned. We don't know where we will be. We don't know where we will be tomorrow. We don't know. But God will be. And God will be who He is. And God will be who He is for us wherever that place is. That's encouraging. That's comforting. There may be some dungeons. There may be some rocky roads to walk. There may be some desert time. There may be tremendous obstacles to overcome. There may be some storms, as we just heard, to go through. But although, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. God provides Himself. God in our dwelling as our dwelling, regardless of all though. And that's where you and I find refreshment in God.
Amen.
Dwelling in God. That's where we find strength. That's where we find provision and deliverance and protection and enjoyment. And that's where truths are revealed, and that's where we find victory. God Himself. So read verse 6. Let's read verse 16 again. Therefore, say, thus saith the Lord God. And you can just stop right there. Thus saith the Lord God.
Yeah.
Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. There's strength in those words. There's stability there. There's refreshment. There's energizing there. There's encouragement there. There's motivation there. These are words that ought to quiet our minds and fortify our minds. Know that we would go from here today that these words would be deeply rooted in our hearts. And that'll fill us with praise. And it'll give us assurance. And it gives us courage. It feeds resolve and steadfastness and passion for Him. So in light of verse 16, focus upon Him. God help us to focus upon God. God help us to pursue Him. Move in the direction of God. We need to often, during the day, stop and consider, where am I headed? What direction is my mind going? What direction are my emotions going? What direction am I going? And it needs to be in the direction of God. You can't go wrong there. You can't go wrong.
That's right.
Pursue Him. Draw near to Him. Draw near to Him. Lean upon Him. And draw from Him. God provides Himself for us. What a blessing. We do not know what life holds, but we have this promise in Ezekiel 11:16.
Amen.
Amen.